Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ken. I'm the preacher here. For those of you who are visiting, I'm thankful to see you this morning, and thankful to see all of our normal folks who we love and enjoy being with every week. And for those of you who are online, I join in welcoming you. And so today is a day that we are focusing on back to school and our backpack blessing, and we're going to have some really significant and special time here a little bit later on to pray over and to bless folks of every age who are going back to school in whatever capacity that you're going back to school. And so we'll be doing that here in a little bit. But as we are in a series right now called Being How to Be a Disciple, Who is Making Disciples, we want to focus today and talk pretty specifically about discipling the next generation, the generations who are coming up, discipling college students. That's something our church takes very seriously. Discipling our teens and our youth group, discipling children who are growing up here, grandchildren who are growing up here. And so we want to be very intentional and serious about that. And so how can we be disciples? Because that's the word that Jesus uses when he talks about the people who are following him and obeying him and living in his way. How do we be disciples who are also making disciples? And I think it's interesting that Jesus, who is the master disciple maker, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of everything that is, the one who was and who is and who will always be, that Jesus made himself a disciple. He put himself underneath not only his Father, he was a disciple of God in the sense that he did God's will. He submitted himself to his Father. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, and he put himself under a man and a woman named Joseph and Mary. And he became a disciple, and he learned from them. And God chose them for the purpose of raising his son, of discipling his son. And Mary and Joseph were very intentional about that. And in Luke chapter 2, we get just a short and small glimpse of Jesus as he was being discipled by his parents. And Luke chapter 2 ends down in verse 52 by saying, it's a verse that many of you will know, that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew in favor with God and men. That's in the NIV. That's a way that we know it. The New Living Translation says, so Jesus grew both in height, he grew up, and in wisdom, and he was loved by God and all who knew him. I very often appreciate the Message, and the Message says, and Jesus matured, growing up in body and in spirit, blessed by God and by people. Jesus grew up. Jesus matured. Jesus developed. And that's what we want for all children, right? We want them to grow up. Some mamas over there are shaking their head really hard. We want them to grow up. We want them to mature. We want them to develop in all the normal ways. We want them to grow up in their body. We do want them to grow tall, and we want them to grow strong, and we want them to develop and be active and healthy in all the ways that is normal and that God intended. We want them to do that in their body. We want them to do up that in their mind. We want our children to develop and grow mentally and learn and have knowledge and wisdom and discernment and have intelligence. And so we want them to grow in their body. We want them to grow in their mind. We want them to grow in their spirit. We want them to develop spiritually. We want them to know the ways of Jesus. We want them to know the teachings of Jesus, the stories of Jesus, and their place in it. We want our children to grow in all of those ways. And that's the way that Jesus grew. And as we look back earlier in Luke chapter 2, again, we just get a little glimpse of some of the ways that Mary and Joseph took their role of discipling this baby and this boy and this teenager into a man. And we see how they did that. And one of the ways that we see they do that is that Mary and Joseph, first of all, took the responsibility, but they did that by obeying God. They did that by following the teachings that God had given his people. And we see in verse 21, one of the first things that we see they did is that when Jesus was 8 days old, they took him and they circumcised him. And that was something that had been commanded by God for all of this nation, these children of Israel, in Genesis chapter 17. And so they obeyed that. Part of what they were doing was not just obeying God, but they were welcoming Jesus into this larger community of faith. They were marking him as one who belonged to God. And so they took that very seriously, and they did that very intentionally. And from the beginning, from the first days of Jesus' life, his parents initiated him into the faith. Verse 22 then gives us another little glimpse. This probably happened about a month after the circumcision. It says that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. And so there was some things that they needed to obey as a family who was following God. And so they took Jesus to Jerusalem and they made a sacrifice. The sacrifice was costly. First of all, the trip. They had to make a trip with a one-month-old. How many of you have done that? They had to make a trip with a one-month-old on a donkey walking down to Jerusalem. That was a commitment. That was something they had to really take on to make that happen. They get there and there's sacrifices they have to offer. Sacrifices cost money. It's called a sacrifice because you have to sacrifice something to do it. There was a provision made for poor people who couldn't afford the sacrifice, that they could give something smaller. The Bible says Mary and Joseph had to give that sacrifice, but it still cost them. They followed through with this ritual. They followed through with this way, and it cost them something in time and in travel and money, but they did it because it was important to them that they keep their family in the way of the Lord. So they went to Jerusalem and presented him. If we go further, we see in verse 41, that they had a habit. It says, every year the family went to Jerusalem for the Passover. Every year the family. Again, this is something that was commanded to the people of God. God said, I want you every year to come, and I want you to come for the Passover, and I want you to come to Jerusalem. And so they made that a part of the rhythm of their life. As we talk about disciple making, we talk about a rhythm that we need to build in our life. Mary and Joseph built this rhythm into their life. Not only at the beginning, when they were really serious and intentional about it and did some things. No, they made it a part of the rhythm of their life. And every year they went to Jerusalem and they worshiped. And Jesus grew up like he was supposed to. He matured and he developed in mind and in body and in spirit. And so it started with his parents. And we've seen some specific ways that they did that. But it also includes the community of faith. If we're going to disciple the next generation, it starts with parents. God has given parents the responsibility to make disciples of their children. But it always includes a community of faith. Back when they went and presented him when he was about a month old, they went to the temple. Other folks who believe in God are there. They're worshiping there. And specifically, it mentions two elderly people. So those of you who are willing to admit that you're elderly, you have a role to play in the development of children in our church family. Because as Jesus was presented at the temple, these two elderly people, Anna and Simeon, Anna and Simeon both came to Jesus and they spoke into his life. They spoke truth into his life. They spoke truth to Mary and to Joseph about this boy, about this baby. And so They included, it started with parents, but they included the community of faith. I am thankful in my son's lives for a community of faith. I'm thankful for very specific people that I know and I remember and I watched and I heard as they spoke into my son's lives. How many of you got spoken into by Jim Marshall? He had a gift for that. And it wasn't just kids my boy's age. For generations, Jim took very seriously speaking into the lives of children. Kelly Fristo did that for my boys. Brian Box did that for my boys. I could go on. But I'm thankful for a community of faith who speaks truth, who speaks love, who speaks grace into the lives of our children. Mary and Joseph had that. Every year, Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they traveled with a community of faith. They traveled with friends. They traveled with relatives. And on their trip to Jerusalem, they would have camped together and talked together and worshiped together. They would have sang the Psalms of Ascent together. Their children would have played together. And when I think back in my own childhood, I am very thankful. My parents didn't do everything right, but I'm very, very thankful for something specific that they did. Every year when I was 7 years old, my mom and daddy, and they had 2 weeks of vacation, but they chose to use one of those weeks every year, and we went to what was called Bible Teachers Workshop at Abilene Christian University. From the time I was 7 until the time I was 18 years old, every year that was the vacation that we took. And we would go for, it lasted from Sunday to Wednesday. And so we'd go to Abilene and we'd get up early Sunday morning and we'd go. And my parents also always took a big group. My parents were the includers. They were the ones who were planning things. And so we always took a big group and we took my aunts and uncles and cousins and we took friends and we took older people. We took widows and widowers. We would have a caravan of people who would go to Abilene from Sunday to Wednesday. And then when it was over on Wednesday, then we would drive to New Braunfels and we'd go to the Schlitterbahn and we'd go do the Guadalupe River and the Comal River and all that. So that's how we would end our week every year. And I am so thankful. It was literally on one of those trips that I had the first moment that I realized that I wanted to be a minister. And so I'm thankful that my parents made that a rhythm in our life. And that they took seriously their responsibility, but they included a community of faith. However you do that, just do it. It doesn't have to be that trip, but take that seriously, folks, that you as the parents, you have the responsibility, but include in the rhythm of your life the community of faith. My parents probably never used the word disciple to think about what they were doing for my sister and I, but that is exactly, very intentionally and purposely, what they were doing. And so we've got to be that intentional. It starts with parents. It includes the community of faith. I saw a meme the other day that said there is a 0.0296, okay, 0.0296% chance that your child will make it to college sports. But there is a 100% chance that your child we'll see Jesus. The meme ended, go to church. Let's be as intentional, as sacrificial of our time and our money and our energy to develop the spiritual life of our children as much as we are developing the physical and the mental life of our children. It starts with parents, and it always includes the community of faith. So, community of faith, how can we help? I just want to say two things this morning. And the first is, we can and we must partner with our families. We can and we must partner with our families. Love on these kids that are running around here. I'm always so thankful to hear them talking and laughing. I know mamas and daddies may get a little nervous about that, but I'm so thankful to hear them. Love on those kids. Hug them. Speak to them. Ask them about their life. We heard some of our teens talk about that just a few weeks ago. Partner with these families. You know, Paul and I didn't live near our parents. And so one of the things that Elmer and Linda did several different times when our boys were little was they would call us. They would take the initiative and they would call us and they would say, hey, we want to take the boys and let y'all go out on a date night. That meant a whole lot to us. Partner with these families. It's their responsibility, but it always includes the community of faith. Partner. Find ways to invest. Find ways to pay attention. One of the ways you can do that is participating in our children's ministry. Participating in our youth ministry. We always need teachers, helpers, folks who will tell this story and tell these kids how they're a part of this story. We need folks who will be small group leaders in our youth group. Partner. Doesn't matter how young or old you are. You have a voice. You have a heart. You have a mind. And you can partner in raising this next generation. So partner is the first thing that we can do. The second thing we can do is pray. 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 Pray for our families. Pray for our children. Pray for our teenagers. Pray for our college students. Never, ever, 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 ever underestimate the power of praying for the next generations. Diane, our children's minister, has created a display over here on the wall with trees and apples, something we've done in various ways for decades. At the beginning of school, to put the names of our kids, our teenagers, our college students up. And I'm going to invite you later to go and take one of those names off and commit to pray for that student for the rest of this school year. I want to tell you a story. I think I've told it before, but I can't help but tell it again. Long, long, long time ago, probably a little bit less than 20 years ago, 15 years ago, we were doing this. We had a young couple who showed up. We were doing Full Cup Cafe then. We had a young couple who showed up on a Wednesday night. They were pretty rough folks. You could tell they had some experiences. They had this little baby and they showed up for church and people started loving on them and paying attention to them. And they started participating with us and coming here. And we all loved on that little girl. And they were here at this time of the year. And so there was I don't remember if it was a bookmark or an apple, but there was something that was created that had this little girl's name on it. And Paula is actually the one who took that name and put it in her Bible and prayed for that little girl throughout the year. And then as the years went by, that family kind of moved on and disappeared. The dad actually ended up in prison. We lost track of them. But Paula would see that name sometimes in her Bible, and she'd always stop and she'd pray. Probably a decade went by. And we were at a prayer event that another church was hosting at a park. And we were at a pavilion at this park participating in this prayer event. And we look up and this girl, this young woman, is making a beeline for us. And immediately, Paul and I both remember who it was. It was the mom from all those years ago of that little girl who had come. And she ran to us and she was at this prayer event. And she shared her life with us. I mean, very quickly, you know, what was going on with her. And that man had gone to prison, but she had married another man. They were Christians. They were raising that daughter and another daughter in church. And they were following the Lord. And we were so excited to see them. And Paula remembered she had been praying for that little girl for probably a decade. That's not the end of the story. A few years later, that little girl ended up in Paula's class at Wichita Christian School. Now, God was at work in that little girl's life. God was at work in that mama's life. He was even at work in that daddy's life, and there's more of that story that I won't tell right now. Never underestimate the power of committing to pray for somebody, for lifting that child, that student up to the Lord as this school year goes on. So we can partner and we can pray as we take seriously as a church being disciples who are making disciples of the next generation. I want Shane to come up and share some good news with you about how we are intentionally doing that on a couple of different levels.
As he talks about just the way that it takes a church, not just parents, but a community of faith around parents as well to raise people up, to raise children up and to disciple them. I think about the ways this church has discipled me in many ways. I am who I am today because of you guys and because of many in this room and some not in this room, but just people that poured into me and invested in me and raised me up. And this church has a pretty awesome history of raising up people that become kingdom workers, that become people that, whether it be in full-time ministry or in missions or whether it just be they're working for the kingdom in whatever job they're doing, we've been a great church about discipling people and raising them up to be productive people of God's kingdom that are just helping others know Jesus. And so I'm thankful for the ways that this church has helped me know Jesus. And I think we need to continue that heritage and that of pouring into our young people, raising them up and helping them to know Jesus and launching them so that they could do awesome things for God's kingdom. We're going to do that in some intentional ways. I want to let y'all know about something exciting that I'm really excited about that we're going to do. We are going to hire some interns for the school year for our youth ministry. We've had lots of summer interns over the years, and they are always such a blessing to our ministry and create such awesome positive momentum in our youth group, and our students always love our interns. And we have some really awesome students at M4C that have a heart for Jesus and have a heart for ministry. And we were thinking, man, how can we pour into some of these students, some that even are very much thinking about maybe going into full-time ministry at some point? It's like, how can we help invest in them and train them? And then also, how can we allow them to bless our church and help disciple our young people? And so we're going to do that, actually. And there's two interns we're hiring that they'll start this fall and be interns for the school year. But it's Talon Heiss and Danica Maton. And Danica got to be our intern this summer, and she's been involved in our youth ministry for a while now as a youth small group leader. And Talon went on a mission trip with us this summer, and he was one of our youth small group leaders this summer. So they've already connected with our students and have these awesome relationships with them, and they're pouring into them. But I'm excited that we can do that even and continue to do that and even in a more intentional way as well. But I didn't tell them I'm going to bring them up here, but I'll bring Danica and Talon if you'll come up here to the stage. Y'all both prepared your speeches right. No, I'm just playing. I just want to pray over them they start this internship. And just I'm really excited. We're going to find some ways to just intentionally pour into them and train them and just show them what it looks like to do ministry. They're going to bless our students in the way that they're going to disciple them. So I'm going to pray over Danica and Talon, and then I'll pass it over to Ken again. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. God, I thank you that you put people in our life that are just so significant. That one of the ways you communicate your love to us, one of the ways you communicate Jesus to us is through other people. And God, I thank you for the ways that you do that. God, I thank you for a church family and just your design and the way that you created a church family to help raise our families, to help raise our young people. And God, I just want to thank you for the people up here on stage. I want to thank you for Danica and Talon. I thank you for the ways that they've already just blessed our church and have cared about our teens and poured into them. And God, I'm just excited they want to continue to do that. And God, just help us as we train them and try to just help them grow as they follow you and as they invite others to know Jesus as well. But God, I pray that you bless them and you continue to do the good work that you've already started in them, and that you just form them more and more into the image of Christ, and just help them to be people that no matter where they go and what they do, that they are people that are just reflections of you and are growing your kingdom. And God, we just thank you so much, and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Tom.
I'm so thankful and grateful. I don't know if it was a couple of months ago, but I shared kind of where we were in our process of transition and looking for a youth minister, and talked then about the need to raise up more ministers, and I'm thankful for Talon and for Danica, and they both have a real heart's desire to pursue full-time ministry. Jake is another one who is given that real serious thought, maybe doing medical missions, and so we're going to have some ways we're going to work with Jake and pour into him as well. But I'm thankful that God is connecting us with these young men and women who really have a desire to serve him. And I want to tell you the way that kind of fits into the bigger picture as well, that as we continue to look for a full-time youth minister, Shane, who is going to be transitioning into a role of disciple-making minister, Shane has agreed that for the next school year, he will continue to work with our teenagers and our youth group and work as a youth minister. But he's going to be able to utilize these guys a lot and train them, and that'll invest in our teenagers as well as we continue to look throughout this year for a full-time minister and end up making more of a transition for Shane. So I'm thankful for the way God is blessing us in a lot of different ways as we go through this. Okay, if you want to bring up the lights, please, we want to take a few minutes and we want to give blessing and pray over folks who are going back to school. And so we're going to do that by asking you to get up and move around. And if you are one of our college students, here in just a minute, we're going to play a song, and you can do it during the song. But just a minute, if you're a college student, I want you to go back to that corner of the room. And there'll be an elder there who will pray with you, and somebody will give you a backpack tag. If you're a pre-K through sixth grade student, and so parents, you may have to come over here with them as well, depending on their age, but we want you to come over here, and there's going to be an elder to pray over you, and we'll give a backpack tag. If you are in, what's this one say? Seventh grade through high school youth group, then you can make your way over there. And if you're a teacher or administrator, then make your way to that back corner of the room. And again, there'll be elders at each place, and we'll give out backpack tags. Greg is going to come up here, so don't be disturbed. And if Greg is up here and it looks like he's talking, but you can't hear him, Greg is going to actually be given a blessing for folks who are online, but he's going to stand up here to do it so they can see him. So if you are not one of these four people, you can stay here, and there's going to be some things on the screen that'll help you pray, or you're welcome to get up and go to one of these corners. Lay your hands on somebody and pray and bless them. And so we're going to play a song, let you get to a corner. The elders are going to give a blessing. We'll give out the backpack tag, and then Wendell is going to lead us as we close. You'll just stay in those corners, and we'll sing a song of blessing and close, and then we'll have our faith conversation here in just a little bit for our Bible class time. So, break.